This afternoon, I was looking back over some older sermons, and I was going to get one of, you know, I felt dusty, blow the dust off of one of those and give you something good that's already been honed down. And I was praying and asking the Lord for something, and it directed me to this passage in Mark chapter 10, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. This is about blind Bartimaeus. Now, when you see something like that, Bar Jesus, the son of Jesus, Bar means the son of, Timaeus is the man's name, and that's why he's called blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. That's what Bartimaeus means. All right? And Barabbas, the son of the father. Abba, father. Barabbas, the son of the father. Very interestingly, Barabbas knew more about the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ than any man alive, because Jesus literally took his place on the cross. Blind Bartimaeus, Mark chapter 10, verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll go right into the message. Father, we ask you tonight to help us. Lord, we pray that you will expound the text for us and show us from this scripture those things that you want us to see. I marvel continuously how, Father, you direct me and direct those who preach here to passages, whether they're visiting or whether they're here, and just preach from time to time, Father. It's amazing to me how you direct us to those things that we need at the very hour that we need them. Tonight, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit, who has come, will direct this entire sermon. Direct what goes on in the teen class, in the master's club, in the nursery. Father, that everything here may be done to your glory. Father, we also pray tonight for Randy Mitchell and Joe Shagg, pastors in Ohio and in North Carolina. We ask you, Lord, to bless these men with great wisdom, good families, faithful families that are willing to participate, minister, give, pray, support, love each other, tell others about the Lord, help their church to grow, Father. We pray that you'll bless these men with encouragement this year and good wisdom and vision about what you'd have them to do. We ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know what? Faith changed this man. Faith changed this man. When you find him in verse 46, he is blind Bartimaeus. And when you find him in verse 52, immediately he received his sight. He changed. Faith changed this man. And he was not the same after this episode with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not the same as he was when he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something? Faith will change you if it's truly faith. And you want it to change you. It'll change your prayer life and some other things about you that we'll see here tonight as we dive into this text. But just keep in mind that a growing faith doesn't just take care of some immediate things, but it also takes care of some long-term things. And notice it was working even before Bartimaeus got his answer and got his sight. Faith will change your life. It will change what you ask for. Now notice here in verse 46, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. What was he begging for? Alms, they call it in the Bible. When Peter and John show up at the temple in Acts chapter 3, he's asking an alms. Money. He's just doing what these guys do that are under the bridge. You know, these guys do at these turnarounds on SPID. Just asking for money. But you know something? When he found out that Jesus Christ was in the area, he changed what he was asking for. Because look down there in verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't ask for money, he asked for mercy. And you know something, when you get faith in you and you start working with the faith that God has given you, it's going to change what you ask for. Haven't you noticed that when you first started praying, you used to ask for some little incidental things that might have been more selfish, and now your prayer life has changed. There are all kinds of things. You know why? Because you know that you have an audience with the Creator of the universe, and He can give you a whole lot more than anybody else down here can give you. He can give you spiritual things, and He can give you eternal things, and He can do things in other people's lives, and our lives, our prayer lives go from being petty and selfish and small and limited, something we could get from other people, to big and grand and meaningful and merciful and hopefully life-changing things. Life-changing things. It'll change what you ask for. I can remember when Lois came and started playing the piano, she said she wanted to do a service over there at the home green. And she said, I don't think they're going to let us in there. That place over there is run by the Episcopalians, and we're Baptist, and I doubt they'll let us have a service. I said, well, you're just going to have to ask them. She said, well, we'll pray about that. Now, you know something? She could have ruled out, you know, and she could have persuaded, maybe we'll do this and that. No, she just went and talked to the Lord, and then went over there and talked to them. And said, she said, they're going to let us have a service here every other week. Then she told me when we got over there, the hymn book that we were using over there is written for nursing homes, and it's written in a lower key. She said, well, I'll have to tell you something. I can't transpose music. And then she started praying. And, you know, she was 80 years old. And God gave her the ability to transpose music so we could play in the nursing home in a lower key so they could sing where their vocal cords register. And she goes, isn't God good? Yes, He is good. You know what? Faith will change what you ask for. I'll show you something else. Faith will change who you ask. You see, in verse 46, when he was begging, he wasn't begging God. He was begging people. When Jesus came by, do you see what he called him? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You remember when Jesus Christ was being pestered by the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers, they were asking him questions, trying to catch something out of his mouth. They were trying to get a sound bite, if you listen to the news today. They were just trying to catch any little thing that he could say, and then they would go and replay it over and over and over again to try to get the multitudes to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they didn't succeed in their questioning. So when they finished and didn't know what else to ask him, he asked them a question. And he said, the Messiah, whose son is he? And they said, he's the son of David. You see, so when Bartimaeus hollered out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, he knew that he was talking to God's man, the Messiah, the one sent from God. He said, man, I got 1,000, you know, there's a multitude following him. So what is that, 50 or 75 or 100 or maybe 300 or maybe 1,000? You know how many people are traveling with Jesus as he's going through Jericho like that. But he says, you know what, I'm going to forget all these other guys that are around here. I'm going to go talk to Jesus. And so he went and he talked to Jesus. He took it straight there. And you notice something, when you realize the faith that God has given you, and I realize the faith that God has given me, you know, I don't mind mentioning a request to you so that you can take it up to the Lord too, but I'll tell you what, we'll waste our time talking to the multitudes when we can talk to the Lord. He's our first one. And you know, I'm acquainted being in the ministry with people that have bad illnesses and bad situations and so forth like that. And it's an amazing thing. They want to get a blog and they want to get a Facebook page and they want to get an email address from everybody so they can get all the notices out. And you know what that's kind of like to me? I mean, I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm just saying that it becomes like talking to the multitude. The multitude can't do for you what Jesus can do. And pretty soon you begin to figure out, you know what, I could be wasting some time here on this telephone call telling you about my problem when I should be and could be just talking to Jesus Christ about this. And you know something, we spend, I think, because we have access with cell phones and emails and all these other methods, more time than we should talking to the multitude and less time than we ought to be talking to the Son of David. And you know something? The reason is faith. And once you realize by faith what Jesus Christ wants to do, can do, will do for you, it'll change who you're talking to. It will change who you ask for things. He went from begging people to begging Jesus. And I'll tell you what, you can get something done when you're begging Jesus. You know what? Faith will change your life. It'll change what you ask for. It'll change who you ask. And I'll tell you what, it'll change how you ask. It'll change the way you ask. Look again in this. He had been by the wayside begging, right? Well, how does a beggar ask when he's by the wayside? I mean, you've passed downtown streets where there are beggars. You've been approached or seen the people in turnarounds. You've lived long enough to see how beggars are. How do beggars generally try to solicit money from you? They have a little sign. They have a little sign. Might put a hand out like this or have a little can. Might sit there and kind of put themselves, wrap themselves in such a way that they look like a sad, pitiful case, trying to get some. They generally, you know what they try to do? They try to get pity. That's really what it's about. I remember we were in Austin, and there was one of those highway beggars. He got his money by entertainment. I know that because he got a dollar out of me and tracks too, and I'm very reluctant to do this. But this guy had a paper bag on his head with two holes cut out for his eyes. And he had five placards that were handwritten. And what he would do, he knew you'd look and he'd let you read one, and then he'd flip it like that, you know. And one of those placards said, "I don't need the internet. My wife knows everything." In other words, why go to the internet? It'll go to her, right? One of them said, "They say to me, take a hike. But," he said, "every time I do, I end up on the psychopath." They had another one that said, I don't remember all five, but I do remember this one. He says, "Road rage? Take it out on the homeless guy. 50 cents for shouting and $1 with obscenities." I mean, with hand gestures. Pay him a little. That was entertaining. I said, you know what? There you go. You worked for this one. Brighten my day. But, I mean, even that was passive. Right? They just try to do something to get your attention and then just be pitiful. That's what a beggar does. But did you notice when Jesus Christ showed up, this guy didn't just sit there and look pitiful and say, "Oh, I hope that Jesus catches me out of the corner of his eye and takes pity on me because, you know, Peter's going to, I mean, because in the Psalms it says that he pitieth. So I'm going to get a little pity, or Peter's going to write, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And hopefully he'll notice over here that I'm trying to get a little help. He didn't do that at all. The Bible tells us in verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't cry out to that multitude. He'd have chased them off. But boy, when it came to Jesus, he changed the whole thing and cried out for something. You know something? That's what faith will do for you. In other words, don't sit around and just be kind of passive and, oh, woe is me, you know, things aren't going well, but I know Jesus knows everything and he's going to be able to take care of this. We're just going to sit here and be pretty pitiful. Cry out. When you read through the Psalms, David lifts up his voice. In Timothy, he's talking about those that pray and they lift up holy hands. And in Psalms, you hear David talking about crying out to the Lord. That's what we ought to do, is get serious if it's really something that demands that type of attention, and get the Lord's attention. Now, you know, you say, well, he can hear me, he can understand my thoughts afar off. Yes, he can. But didn't he say the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? And there's some fervency in crying out to God. Have you ever just gotten there? You know, you say, well, if I did that, all my kids would know what we were talking about. They ought to see us being earnest with the Lord. We're far too concerned about the impressions of others when it comes to talking about the Lord. Don't you think? You know what? When it's faith now, not just putting on an act, when faith is what's happening and you realize that God's going to answer you and he hasn't heard the pitiful little whine, then why not cry out? That's what this guy did. He was not going to let the opportunity pass when Jesus was in town with an ear. He was going to make sure he got heard. And that's what faith will do for you. You know, that's why he said to us, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He didn't say just sit there and kind of, oh, I guess Jesus isn't in today. Oh, well, maybe I'll come back tomorrow. No, it's, you know, pound on the door. What do you want? I need you. Okay. You know something? Faith will change what you ask for. It'll change who you ask. It'll change how you ask. I'll tell you something else. It'll change your persistence in asking. Listen, faith, you know that Jesus hears your prayers. And you know that he has a desire, if it's within his will, to answer your prayers. You know that. Particularly when you look at all that stuff and the promises he gives and coming in the name of Jesus Christ. We give up. We have that site back there where we see Abraham asking for protection for Lot, and he tells the Lord, you know, you're righteous. You're not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. And the Lord said, okay. Will you spare it for 50? Will you spare it for 40? Will you spare it for 30? Will you spare it for 20? Will you spare it for 10? And he left off speaking with him. You know what he could have done? He could have just said, I don't want Lot and his family to die. Could you take care of that? And God knew what he wanted. And that's exactly what the Lord did. He stayed with it long enough actually to get through to the Lord, and the Lord knew what he wanted. But the point is, don't we give up a little too soon sometimes? Look at this thing. Look at this persistence in asking. He cried out in verse 47, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Now he's just the beggar. They are the principal people who are following with the Lord. He should have just hushed. He should have listened to what they said. He's just an old beggar, a worthless person in their minds. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. You know what he did? He cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. All that did is just provoked him to get more serious about the problem. I find that in my own life that I think, well, okay, well, you know, I want to find out the will of God. And you know, sometimes we just say, you know, well, Lord will take care of it in time. And I believe that He will. But sometimes I get the feeling that I say that to myself just to take the edge off of my demand. This guy, he wasn't going to let that opportunity pass. The window presented itself, and as he was being told not to, he said, just watch this. I'm not shutting up nothing. He reminds me of the disciples when they were told to hush. Quit preaching in the name of Jesus. Well, they're supposed to be law-abiding people and supposed to have respect for authority, but they had been given a command by God. And we've been given a command by God, too. Pray without ceasing. And I think but listen, it's a matter of faith. When faith reveals to us that God will answer, we become more persistent in asking. That's not all. Faith will change your life. It will change your responsiveness in asking. You say, what are you talking about? Sometimes when you start asking, the Lord kind of reveals something to you where He wants a change in your life while you're asking. It's not like, if you do this, then that I'll do that for you. But it's like when you start coming before Him, He keeps bringing up something in your mind that He wants something to change in your life. Do you know what I'm talking about? In other words, let's say that when you first get saved, you come to the Lord and you're like, oh, Lord, you know, and let's say you got a bad mouth. You just cuss from time to time. And you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I love You and I want You to help me with this. And He helps you with it, but you still like cussing. And then one day you go in there and you say, Lord, I need You to help me with that. And He says, you know what? It sure would be nice if you quit cussing so much. And you go, oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that that was a problem. Oh, okay, I'll quit cussing. And you start, and it's like a graduation in your prayer. You've been through it. And you know what? That's faith that's opening that communication with You and Lord, and it changes your responsiveness in asking. Watch this. Watch. Verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Here's the command. Rise. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. You see that? He was very responsive. The Lord said, I'll do that, but here's something I want you to do. That faith causes you to draw closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. It changes your responsiveness in prayer, where prayer then is not just a one-way street where you're shooting things in there all the time. Now you come in listening a little bit, trying to find a way to be more pleasing to God. And faith, that's what does that to you. Otherwise, you just make it out like a grocery list or a letter to Santa Claus and drop it in the box and wait for God to answer. No, it becomes more responsive. It becomes more changing. You're waiting for the Lord to give you something to do in your relationship with Him. And you know what? You find that that faith makes you more obedient. You start reading the Bible and say, oh man, look, He wants me to do this, and you do this, and you do this. And now you find that it's not just a one way, I'm going to sit here now, I'm saved, I'm your child, and you just do everything for me. Isn't it that way with our own children? You start teaching them some responsibility in life. I'll tell you something else that'll change. It will change your approach in asking. Look at verse 50. It'll change your approach in asking. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. This is very similar to the first thing, but the first thing is God could ask you to be obedient in anything and you're going to do it. For instance, I can remember in my life praying, and then the Lord said, okay, I want you to preach. How do you think my prayer life would be today if I'd have said no? It'd be different, wouldn't it? All right, but this thing here, this casting away his garment, how long do you think that man had been sitting in that nasty garment as a beggar? Most beggars I know, except for the ones that ride the van to their turnarounds on SBID, who got a shower this morning, most of them pretty nasty. Smell bad, look bad, and the clothes are really rank. This guy said, well, I'm going to go over there and see him. I got to get rid of this nasty thing. I really use the illustration on cussing. It's better for this one, and the obedience that I gave you about responding to something the Lord told you is better on the other point. But the Lord, faith in prayer will draw you to a place where your life begins to change and become more sanctified. He's knocking some sin out of your life. That's what it'll do for you. It'll change you. It'll change your approach in asking. You realize, hey, I am really in the presence of a holy God, and there are things in my life that have to go. I got to get rid of this nasty thing. You know what? A garment in the Bible is often likened to righteousness. You know, Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves, and then he covered them with the skins, which required the shed blood of a lamb. And a lot of times we go in prayer in our own righteousness. Now, God, you know I've been good. Have you ever done that where you start feeling pretty good about the way you've been living for a week, so you really think you got a special kind of an entrance with God? We sang one of those songs tonight, and I can't remember which one it was, but it really caught my attention. Oh, it's nothing but the blood. And you know what? It is nothing but the blood. The only righteousness which allows us to stand in the presence of God and ask him anything is that shed blood of Jesus Christ, not our righteousness. Just cast that filthy garment away. That's bad. And faith will do that for you. I'll tell you something else. Faith will change your responsibility in asking. You say, where are we going with this? Well, we're getting close to the end. You can see that. Look at verse 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about that? Listen, we live in a society, and you've heard a lot about that because of the political year that we've lived in. We live in a society where a person gets stuck and then uses his stuck to his advantage. It's called the victim society. That I'm a victim of my circumstances, or I'm a victim of my disabilities or my challenges. You know, I've got ADD and HDADD, and I like what one guy said, HDADD, high definition ADD. You said that. That's funny. Or I don't have enough money, or you know, I don't have a job, or whatever the thousands of excuses people come up with these days. When this guy went to Jesus, he could have asked for anything. He could have just said, would you give me enough money to take care of me for the rest of my life? I have a permanent disability here. I'm blind. Could you work it out so that when I go to the government officials, they will check my eyes and realize that I'm 100% disabled and I can live on this for the rest of my life? Now, if you're in that case, I'm not comparing you to this guy. What I'm showing you is, as soon as he asked for his eyesight, everything changes. Now he's got to do his own laundry, and he's got to pay his own way, and he's got to go to get a job, and he's got to feed whatever family he has, and he's got to take care. See, it's all going to change. There's responsibility in asking. You come to Jesus Christ and say, I want you to do this for me. The question is, what are you going to do with that when I do? We're praying, okay, Lord, give us ability. There's a responsibility that goes with that. He's paid every dime of it, but that means we've got to be persistent in the other things that he showed us to do, getting that seed out of the barn that's in that storage room there, and giving those Bibles to people so that they can come to Jesus Christ, and telling our friends and neighbors that we've been praying for the last 10 years about Jesus. We got to get up from our begging and go do something about what we've been asking the Lord to do. That's what faith does for you. Faith puts footsteps with your prayers. It says this is a two-way thing, and I'm not just on the receiving end, but I'm on the receiving end to do something about what he gave me to do. Changed his life forever. But did you notice when he asked that thing to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that's all it was. What do you want me to do for you? Lord, that I may receive my sight. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Isn't it funny how we pray sometimes? If I think faith is like a sharpening tool. It hones down those prayers to a razor's edge. You ever done that thing where you start praying, now, Lord, I know that you don't understand. I don't even understand. I'm not even sure what I'm doing here, and I love you. You know, you love me, and all that kind of thing. And, you know, I wasn't always good, and I'm trying to be better now. And what do you want? Well, I want my sight. Okay, thank you. He got with it. He knew what he wanted, and he knew what he was going to do with it when he got it. And he finally found somebody that could remedy his life forever. I'm not going to have to sit here and be a beggar anymore. He went that day from the victim to the victor. I don't want to be like this anymore. And Jesus changed his life. And I mean, there comes a time in our lives we say, you know something, Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. Let's change it and get to the point, and faith will do that for you. It'll change you. That's what he said, because he says in the end, verse 52, he said, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, Jesus was the one that did it, but Bartimaeus knew, man, I can get something done here. Now, what's the conclusion of all this? The conclusion of all this is that when you go from being just the pitiful person that we've been to crying and begging and doesn't make any difference what the obstacles are, I'm going to ask to throw away the garment and rise when he tells you to rise and all that thing. Look what happened in the last verse. The Lord said unto him, go thy way. And when he gets his sight, in the latter part of that verse, immediately he received his sight. And what way was his way? He followed Jesus in the way. That faith changed him so much, he didn't just get his eyesight. He got a leader he could follow with that eyesight. In the way, he became without the garment, without sitting down, by rising up with his eyesight, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the way he was told to go turned out to be the way the Lord wanted him to go. Your way and the Lord's way becomes the same way. That's a wonderful thing. Faith puts you in footstep with the Lord. Then suddenly you find yourself, I'm not only talking to him, but he's changed my life in such a way that we're walking the same way. And no longer are we struggling against each other. I'm trying to pull this way and he's trying to pull that way. That's a wonderful thing about faith. We end up on the same railroad track going the same direction. He's the engine, I'm the caboose. Faith's the coal fire and we're on our way. What a wonderful thing that happened to Bartimaeus that day. He persisted in that prayer, and I mean he got a whole lot more than he came ready to get that morning when he showed up to beg on that highway. Now listen, we've seen God do some things. God's given each one of us faith, and with that faith we can look like Bartimaeus at to far greater things than we've ever seen before and find that when we are able to see by faith, because we walk by faith and not by sight, with the eyes that were given to Bartimaeus, the eyes of faith that we need, will track us right in where we can follow Jesus Christ and run this thing out till Jesus comes. Amen. Father, we're sure thankful today for blind Bartimaeus. Everybody even today, like I just did, refers to him as blind Bartimaeus, but he's not blind. He's seeing. He's sighted. Bartimaeus, what a glorious, wonderful thing you've shown us here. Now, Lord, help each one of us to make application in our lives just the way you want your Holy Spirit to do it. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.